that's the only announcement I've got. Tuesday's Ladies Fellowship. All right, Colossians chapter 3. And verse 5. This will be our kind of jumping off place here. And we're going to cover a subject in the Bible that I guess I wish we weren't covering it Wednesday night, but oh well. We're going to cover it tonight because that's where we're at in Colossians. He's going to talk about mortifying your members. He's going to give a list of all of these sins that the Lord is that he judges. And the first one in verse 5 is fornication. And so here's the layout of the chapter. It's like this. We mentioned it last week, and it's like this. If you believe the Lord is coming back, you believe that He will be the judge of all things, and you are trusting by faith that Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and now He's at some point in time coming back, that will lead to some things you probably want to clean up in your life and change about your life and all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, what was kind of the point of being of trusting Jesus Christ? So if you didn't think you were a sinner to begin with, then what are you trusting Him for? But if you know you're a sinner, you trust Jesus Christ, then you know He's going to deal with sin. And so if you believe He's coming back and going to judge things, then it just makes sense that you might want to clean some things up. So that's the layout of kind of the chapter, just a real simple layout. And we're at the point where He says, all right, you know your life is hid with Christ. If you're saved, you know your life is hid with Christ. He's life. He's everything to you, and if you've trusted Him. And so all of your life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And so when He comes back, that's when your life will appear. And he's it. He's everything to you. And therefore, at this present time, what do you do in these carnal bodies? And here's what He says in verse 5, Colossians 3, 5. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then verse 6, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So the reason Jesus Christ is coming back, and the way He's coming back, is He's going to judge these things. And He says, here's a short list of things that He's going to judge. Here's just a short list of things that make Him mad. And the first one is so prevalent. I want to show you several places in the Bible about how God has dealt with this in the past. But we're going to talk about fornication and mortifying, I guess, that element of the flesh, and show you how God has dealt with it in the past, and you know what he expects of His children and things like that. But it's really so prevalent among the nations that it just shows up over and over and over in the Bible. And we definitely won't do an exhaustive thing on this, but just to show you a few things that God thinks about it. And typically, what God gets, I don't know if you say frustrated or mad at, the reason God's wrath is kindled oftentimes is to Gentiles or to people just kind of a joke. And so we may laugh about things, be entertained by things that God just won't put up with. And I told you, Wednesday I want to be encouraging and upbeat and things like that, but oh well, here we are. So let's pray, and we'll go through some things about fornication in the Bible and how God deals with this stuff. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would you'd help us this evening. We've just come to a place where you're dealing with sin here in Colossians, and it's common. It's so common, and we all have it in our flesh. It's just part. It's part of these bodies, and that's why we've got to reckon them dead. Otherwise, the lust just knows no boundaries. And I pray that you'd help us this evening, make the applications where we need to make applications, and for all the ages in the room. I mean, just where we can make the application, or store it away for memory and remember the things that we've heard tonight. And I pray you would feed your flock tonight. You'd help us get through this and understand your perspective on these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. That's the first one. That's the first one. It seems to be the first one in all the lists of sin, adultery, fornication. That just seems to make the top of the list because it's so common. Now, I'm going to show you a few verses, and I want to take you through the Bible kind of in an orderly way here, but unfortunately the first verse is at the end of the Bible, so we're just going to start there. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it's a reference to the beginning of the Bible, but we'll just look at this one to start off. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Fornication is one of the things that God made an entire group of people an example of over in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was something that he made an example of, and he expected the nations to watch, to observe, and to take note of how he handles this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes." Wow. That's something. These cities, he turned them into literal ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So he took a whole. There was actually five cities there, and the Lord turned those five cities into literal ashes because of fornication. You read that over in Jude. You don't have to go there, but in Jude verse 7, he says fornication. In Ezekiel, he says, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? He says pride. You say, well, that's not the same thing as fornication. Well, it's like this. When the gay pride parade shows up, that's where you've gone Sodom and Gomorrah now. That's why they associate that word pride with that sin. That's what Ezekiel said. That's what they did. They just associated that word with the sin. And so God said, look, this, I am going to make an example of this city, these cities. And I expect people to look at this and take note of how I deal with this sin. Just don't put up with it. And so he turned Sodom and Gomorrah, Zeboam and the other cities into just literal ash heaps. And there's nothing there even to this day, just salt pits, there's nothing there. So that's the example. Now we'll go back to the beginning of the Bible and go from there in a kind of an orderly way. Go back over to Leviticus chapter 18, and this is part of the law. This is what God said to the Israelites about the law and the rules concerning this sort of carnality. Leviticus 18, start in verse 6, really the whole chapter, but we're not going to read the whole chapter, I just want to get you to know what he's dealing with here. Verse 6, Leviticus 18, 6, he says, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him and cover their nakedness, I am the Lord. Nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness." All right, that stuff was going on in the Corinthian church and all that. That was horrible. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. All right, you get the idea. I'm not going to read every single one of these, but you get the idea. That's what he's dealing with. And then he gets down to verse 19. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Just a note, the reason he throws this in there is because the abandoning and the sacrifice of children goes hand in hand in a culture committed to fornication. Kids grow up without moms or dads. They get aborted. Just innocence just goes away. It just gets destroyed under the bulldozer that is fornication. And it has to. I mean, if people are going to pleasure themselves and live in pleasure at the expense of everyone else, then that means innocence is going to suffer. And so that's mentioned because that was part of the whole process. These people were having kids, and they're just having kids willy-nilly and unwanted kids, and so the kids are get sent through sacrifice because they're just a product of fornication. Now let's keep reading. Verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's sodomy. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now watch what he says. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. As the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Wow. So he makes this list of these carnal activities, and he says, this is what the nations do. And this is the reason the nations don't last long, because they start committing these sins, and eventually they just get vomited out by the land, and eventually they get judged. And I don't know how that works with the earth and all that kind of stuff, but eventually the nation just falls under the weight of its own sin. And so the Lord says to Israel, stay away from this stuff, because this is what all the nations do. And by the way, you and I are the nations. We're not Israel. We didn't receive any law or anything. We are just Gentiles, and this is the way we act. And so we would be considered just the nations, and you're seeing that more and more. We're just the nations, and this is the way nations go, and this is sort of the decline, or when you start seeing this prevalent in a nation or being held up in a nation, it's almost like I don't know how else to explain it, other than it's like the maggots on the corpse. It's just like the thing's dead now, and now it's just being consumed. It's dead. The nation's dead. And so the Lord says to Israel, don't participate in this stuff, because what's going to happen is you just be like the nations. So he gives them a warning. And again, when he mentioned children up there, the point of that is children are collateral damage in all of this stuff. You know, when adults choose to live their lives a certain way and the consequences happen and they have children, oftentimes they don't want to have children, but now they have children. So now you either get rid of the child, or the child grows up without a mom or without a dad, and that's just the consequence, and no fault of the child. The child's just born now. It's just a sacrifice now, a sacrifice to your pleasure. And so the child has been sacrificed. So the Lord says to Israel, here's some rules, and here's the nations, here's how they act. Don't act like that, because this is the end of a nation. This is sort of the life cycle of the nations. And just a note, you won't have to turn there, but what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when you read in 2 Peter what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, which happened in Genesis 18 and 19, by the time Israel has been in their land for 200, maybe 280 years, they are doing the exact same things that Sodom and Gomorrah were doing. In fact, you could almost, it's almost word for word at the end of Judges. Word for word, it's almost a carbon copy of Genesis 19, what Israel is doing in their land. They've just adopted all of the way of the nations. All right, here's another one. 1 Kings chapter 11. Fornication, it'll affect what you believe. You say, how in the world? What are you talking about? Well, it'll make you hard to the commandments of God. It'll make your heart hardened toward God when you live according to the lust of the flesh. And here's what the Lord told Solomon. 1 Kings 11:1 says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart, or turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So you know what happened? His carnal lifestyle changed. It changed what he believed. You say, I won't change what I believe. You will change what you believe. What will happen is you'll get used to sin, and you'll think certain things about God that you didn't think before. Or you'll think that God is okay with something because there's no immediate lightning bolt that shows up, and you think, well, I got away with it. And that's not the case. So what happens is, over time, Solomon, he keeps bringing in these women. Pretty soon, he just turns away from God. So that's the point. This stuff, this fornication, it'll affect what you believe. Solomon was warned about women turning him from God into idols, and that happened. You enjoy the emotion of it so much that you start to protect the feeling of it, just like Solomon did. Maybe there were some political connections. I don't know, but the point is, he invited all of this into his life, and pretty soon he had given up on what God said. So you say, well, I would never do that. You will do that. Everyone will do that. If you don't have boundaries, you'll do that. So fornication, it'll affect what you believe. Here's another one. New Testament. We'll go to the New Testament here. We'll skip over Balaam and all that for right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. First Corinthians 6:13. The Bible says, meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. So they're just they're temporary things. They're useful now, but don't get too attached to all that stuff. Now he says this. Now the body is not for fornication. That's pretty specific. The body is not for that. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So here's the recommendation. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There you go. So some things in the Bible, you don't have to pray about. You don't have to ask God whether this is right or not. He just says, here's the remedy. Flee. You just get away from it. You know, it's not a matter of prayer or reading more Bible or you need to have better devotion times or anything like that. It's just do what Joseph did, and the only way to prevent the fire is get the fuel away from the fire. That's the only way to prevent the fire from exploding and growing and all that kind of stuff. So flee fornication. All right, you're in 1 Corinthians. Look in chapter 10. Here's a reference back over to Balaam. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I guess I hope from these verses you get a good view of what God thinks about this, because I know we can be entertained by stuff like this, we can laugh and joke about stuff like this and all that, but when you get God's perspective on this, just like any other thing, when you get God's perspective on it, that's the perspective you need, and that's the perspective that's really going to count in the end. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. It says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So on and so forth. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So this is what a person thinks before they get wrapped up in that sin is, I'm okay. I'm all right. I got this. I can handle this. And the Lord says, no, you can't handle this. The solution is to flee it and get away from it. And once you get wrapped up in it, all this pride and I can handle it, you're going to find out you can't handle it. It's not something you can handle. It's not something you're equipped to handle. Just like he said over there in 1 Corinthians 6, he said the body's not for fornication. It's like trying to, I don't know, hitch up a motorcycle to 80 tons and drag 80 tons around. It's not made for that. And if you do that, you just tear the thing up. And so that's what happens with the body, that's what happens with families, that's what happens with life and nations when they try to participate or are encouraged and taught how to participate in these things from an early age, or, you know, on phones and all the, I mean, we're just inundated. We're completely saturated with this. So here's what he says, 1 Corinthians 10. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. I won't take you back all the way to the verse. I'll just give you the story. So there was a false prophet named Balaam. And Balaam gets hired to curse Israel by the king of Moab. And Balaam can't curse Israel. And he says that to Balak, the king of Moab. He says, I can't pronounce a curse on this people that God's blessed. My words don't mean anything to God's words. I mean, I can't curse the people that God's blessed. So my words don't mean anything. So what he did instead was, he didn't curse the people. What he did instead was, he intermixed and brought in a culture to Israel that was kind of like, you know, loose and kind of, I guess I'll use the word, just sex education at an early age and all that kind of stuff. And what he did was, the Bible says, he taught them to fornicate. Not that he taught them how, I think he just taught them it's okay to do it. And before the whole thing was over, Balaam didn't vocally curse Israel, but he taught them how to sin and let God deal with them. And then once God got mad at Israel, and so in one day he sends a plague through Israel and 23,000 people die because they're all just laying around committing fornication and they're just whatever. It's all kind of a joke to them. And so God wipes out 23,000. I mean, you find out it's 24,000. and 23,000 in one day. And the only thing that stops this is this. It's so interesting. But the only thing that stops this is, so there's this prince, kind of this high society guy in Israel, and he brings in this lady from whatever, and they're just having like a big, you know, spring break party or whatever, in front of all the kids and all the Israelites, and he's just drinking it up, and they're just having a big party. And so he takes these women into his tent. And I mean, everybody knows what's going to happen. And a guy named Phinehas, he's Moses, I think he's Moses' grandson. And Phinehas is so tired of, he is so tired of the sin in Israel, he takes this javelin, and he goes in that tent, and he spears both the guy and the girl. And he kills him. And the Lord says, because you did that, your line of priesthood, I will impute my righteousness to your generations. And that's why the Levites become the priests, because of Phinehas. You read that in Psalm 106. You read that over in Numbers chapter 25. And so he says, because you've done this, you've stayed the plague. You have stopped what was going to sweep through Israel and destroy many, many lives. He says, but because you did this, and he does it publicly, and everyone sees it, and the Lord says, all right, you have stopped the plague in Israel. You have acted righteously against sin while everyone else thought it was kind of a joke and a spring break party and all that kind of stuff. You put an end to this stuff. And because you did that, your line, your generations will be the ministers in the temple. And from then on, the Levites are the people that run the temple. And that's because of Phinehas. But that's what you're reading here in 1 Corinthians 10:8. All that happened because a man named Balaam just taught them fornication, just it's okay. The Bible says he taught them about fornication, taught them how to do all this stuff. He just taught them, hey, it's okay, just enjoy your whatever. Get drunk, have a party, enjoy each other, and then, you know, whatever you do, it's all cool, man. Don't be judgmental and all that kind of stuff. And that's what Balaam taught him. And because of that, God got tired of watching it, and he wiped out 23,000 Israelites in a day because of it. So God's view of this stuff is drastically different than our view. I mean, we would probably laugh at some of this stuff. We would probably joke around and listen to music about it and just enjoy the entertainment quality and all that kind of stuff, of all this stuff. And man, God looks down and he just gets tired of it. He just gets tired of it. Here's another one, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And verse 2. So this is the word that typically goes with adultery and fornication. And the word is love. But I love them. But we love each other. But we just love each other. So here's a definition of that. Ephesians 5, 2. Or here's a contrast. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So love is a sacrifice. Now watch the contrast. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. So fornication is called love by the world. But when God defines love, he says, no, love is a sacrifice. And I want you to love as Christ loved, but fornication, covetousness, these things stay away from. So here's the point with that. the way the world defines something is obviously not the way God defines it, but he uses the word the world uses with it. But we just love each other. We just love each other. You know, just I'm gonna abandon my marriage because I just found someone else who understands me. We just love each other. God says that's not love. That's just lust. That's all that is. Y'all don't love each other. You're just trying to get something out of each other is all you're trying to do. You don't even know what love is. And so the Lord says, here's love. What Christ did on the cross, that's love. And let me compare that or contrast this, but fornication, stay away from that. That's not love. So he puts them within a verse of each other to show you the contrast. This thing that the world calls love is not love. It has nothing to do with love. All right, here's another one. Give you a couple more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. First Thessalonians 4, 1. First Thessalonians 4, 1 says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. There it is, just like the first thing right off the top. Here's the will of God. I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. People say, I just want to know the will of God for my life. Here's the will of God. Abstain from fornication. That's the will of God. That every one of you, verse 4, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So we're back to the nations, and this is what the nations think is okay. They think, the nations, Gentiles, us, our culture, we think it's okay to, if you just met somebody or starting to get to know somebody, it's okay if y'all just take off your clothes and do whatever. That's what the nations think. And God says, this is what Gentiles believe, and this is how Gentiles act. And they think this stuff is okay, and here's how God defines it. These are people who don't know God. So people who don't know God think it's okay to just fool around and, you know, whatever, one night stands or get to know somebody and, hey, we kind of love each other now, and so we'll just take off our clothes. The Lord says, this is how people act when they don't know God. This is how they act when they don't know God. Verse 6, that no man go beyond to fraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify. There you go. So there's another warning about the specific sin of fornication, and this is the way Gentiles and people that don't know God, this is the way they think, and this is the way they act. This is just the way, if they have no boundaries, no God in their life, this is what they believe and this is how they act. All right, here's, and truly, truly, it is, really, I mean, I wish we had another topic for tonight, like joy or something, or rejoicing or whatever, you know, something that wasn't like this. But we are so thoroughly saturated with this. We're so thoroughly saturated with this mentality. We are this culture, our entertainment, everything about our lives is so thoroughly saturated. And when God says this is how people who have no God think, literally we can walk out these doors, or we can just pull up our phone and we can see exactly, this is exactly what people think. This is how folks without God think. And so, personally now, more applicably to us, this is how your body thinks as well. This is how our flesh thinks. And this is how the carnal part of us believes. And so that goes back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. The very first thing he said was, mortify, therefore, your members. Meaning it's not just out there, it's sitting in the pew now. It's you're wrapped in it. And so mortify the members, because this is part of our unfortunate first birth and our makeup. This is what we deal with. All right, here's one more, and then how do you get victory over it? We'll deal with that with a couple verses. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, 4. Hebrews 13, 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. He just has nothing, just nothing good to say about this. There's nothing good to say about it. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, He didn't make Eve a roommate or Adam a roommate. He didn't make Adam a girlfriend. He didn't make Eve a boyfriend. Yeah, he made them husband and wife. And he said, this is good. This is good. But the world, the flesh, the devil, all of the enemies of God, all these things that are at enmity with God, take that good thing and pervert it, and we have all these reasons for doing it. Well, we live together because it's cheaper. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Okay, we're just gonna share the rent because it's cheaper, and we're gonna ignore what God said about it because money. Sounds like Judas. I'm just going to ignore what God said because money. Judas did the same thing. I mean, he did what he did for money. So people say, well, we'll just live together because it's cheaper. Or you know, we have good intentions. We want to have a committed relationship and all that stuff. So we'll do whatever we want to do and all that stuff. Marriage is honorable, but boyfriend and girlfriend isn't honorable in all things. Roommates aren't honorable in all things. That's not the relationship. God didn't make Adam a girlfriend. He didn't make Eve a boyfriend. He didn't make them friends and whatever. You get the idea. All right. Now, there's a few things, a couple things, and just real quick, about victory over fornication, because that was the whole point of this. This is God's view of this. And the verse we read in Colossians, Paul says, look, mortify therefore your members. It's not out there, although it is out there, but it's even closer to home. It's the body. The body is the problem. And that's why you got to reckon it dead, or else you're going to have consequences for all sorts of things, particularly this thing that we're dealing with. So the first thing he said was, mortify therefore your members. That just means whatever desires, whatever ambitions, whatever goals, whatever lusts pop up and are contrary to what God said, then God's word takes priority, and whatever ambition or goal or desire or lust needs to just take a back seat to whatever God said. That's how you mortify it. You just yield it to what God said about the thing. He says, flee fornication. It's not a matter of, again, not a matter of prayer, not a matter of having better devotional time in the morning or anything like that. It's just flee. Get away from it. Take the fuel away from the flame so you don't have a problem. And then he says, abstain from fornication, which you read in 1 Thessalonians 4, abstain from it. If you abstain from fornication, You never have to worry about STDs. You never have to worry about bringing in children into this world that don't have both parents. You don't have to worry about that stuff. If you're married, you can do all that stuff and it's fine. And if you abstain from the things God said to abstain from, you don't have to worry about people getting pregnant or any of that stuff. You don't just, it's not a thought. Because you just do it God's way. He says, flee fornication. Joseph, we were talking about that the other day. Joseph, he's 17 years old, and he gets approached by this lady that is, you know, high society and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, she's kind of coming on to him, and he doesn't discuss it. He just leaves. Joseph leaves. In fact, he leaves in such a hurry that he leaves his clothes there. And he ends up spending 13 years in prison because of a rape charge that he never did. But then God promoted him and all that kind of thing. And he becomes ultimately the second man in charge of Egypt. But flee youthful lust, he says in 2 Timothy, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says in 1 Thessalonians, know how to possess your vessel. That means things that go in your eyes, things that go in your ears. That means private time or time with the opposite sex at work, after hours or whatever, when the jokes start getting a little more intimate and things like that. You know what direction all this is going. You know where this goes. And if you don't have boundaries, it just keeps going in that direction. If people don't set up walls, it just keeps moving in that direction. Before there's ever any physical relationship, there's a conversation. There's multiple conversations, and I guess this is one way to put it. But before people get, I'll try to be tactful here, but before people get undressed in front of each other, they get undressed in conversation in front of each other. That makes sense? They talk about it. They have jokes about it. They say things in conversation that start to get it's a little bit crude there. It's a little bit, you know, and then they laugh about it. And then it just, you know how that goes. It just degrades and degrades and goes further and further and a little more intimate and all that kind of stuff. So Paul says in Thessalonians, or the Holy Spirit through Paul says in Thessalonians, look, know how to possess your vessel. You know where these things go. You know what happens. You know where these jokes go. You know where these conversations go. You know where this private time goes. You know where this goes. So know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And so there's victory to be had. There's enjoyable marriage relationship and all that kind of thing. And through the Bible, this stuff about fornication, it just shows up over and over and over and over again, and it's just the way we are without God. And not just the way they are without God, it's the way we are without God. This is what we would do without God. So I hate to put that on you tonight. I hate to go over all this stuff on a Wednesday night. So be encouraged. There you go. Be encouraged. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. It is such a common thing we deal with here, and not just around it. It's not just all the influences around us, but these bodies, they love this stuff. And pray you'd help us apply what needs to be applied here and deal with things that need to be dealt with in our lives appropriately. And like you said, just know how to possess these vessels in honor and sanctification. And that's what we want to do. We want to use this time and this life to honor you and to glorify you. And I pray you'd help us do it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.